This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Last night at the Roseburg City Council meeting, it was a State of the City address. Roseburg Mayor Larry Rich and the mayor, along with City Manager Nikki Bessinger, in studio today. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, I guess, Larry, first of all, we should let folks know if they want to hear the address. That's available on the city website. It's up on the city Facebook page as well. And they can listen to the full address. Overall, talk about what you feel like the biggest issue for the city has been this past year.
I would have to say homelessness would reach at the top of the level. So it's been one of those things where people have been asking for a campsite for some time. We've been trying to find a location, and we were able to present a location to the Homeless Commission and also to the council. And now it's a matter of being able to move forward and seeing what we can do to put it together. We're very picky in terms of if we have a campsite, we want it to be successful. We want homeless people to be moving forward and progressing in the right manner. And so we think we have a location, we think we have an operator, and we'll just kind of see. But it's been a long haul to get where we are now.
And even, of course, last night you had a lot of folks, some people talking about this possible new site. Others, though, talking about the site that ultimately got rejected. Talk about that whole experience.
Well, you always want to listen to the public, and we knew that the location that was rejected was not really an ideal location with the residents there, but it's important that we bring that forward because that was a site that was available and listen to the public and then make a decision from there. The public was saying, please not in that area, and we went ahead and supported that decision.
And Nikki, what were your thoughts about watching this evolve over the last month?
So I think it's been interesting. It's really sometimes difficult for the public to understand the process that we do go through because they feel it's not as transparent as they would like. But part of the reason that we put money down first is so that we can get to the public process. If we don't do that, then somebody's going to come and buy it to prevent us to be able to even have that conversation. And so I think there's some confusion there. And then there's also confusion at how many properties we've actually looked at. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've had several people come up and go, hey, what about this property? And the answer is that's a great idea. I 100% agree that'd be a great location. It was the first one we looked at, and we got a no, and it was a hard no. And so it's just a matter of that we've been looking and that we understand there's no perfect location. But we're not out publicly talking about every location because that can make it very difficult for us to actually move forward. We do want the public's input, but it does seem like it's a little bit of a complicated process to get there, and we understand why that frustrates people.
And last night, talk about what took place regarding a new potential or newer potential property.
The Dream Center?
You're talking about the Dream Center?
Right.
Oh, okay. That one came up in terms of one running the Dream Center was willing to be an operator, so we went and met with them and talked about what are their expectations, and we noticed that it lined up with ours, and that's accountability and responsibility and getting positive results, and so we were quite impressed. And I realize it's under new management, and we support what we're seeing, so we're going to continue to look further into it, and if it works, then that'll be great.
And Nikki, one of the comments last night I caught from one of the counselors watching part of it this morning was just about the tremendous cost of this sort of undertaking.
Yeah, it is very expensive because we want to do it right, and doing it right means getting qualified staff that organization would have to hire to be able to provide the peer support. And then they would also be working with existing organizations to bring in those wraparound services. You hear a lot about those. But those are the things that help make it successful, is if we can get people actually into those services, get them stabilized as far as a living space that they're not moving every day, and start taking those steps. And as the mayor mentioned, we want people that are willing to take those steps towards making improvements, not just have a place that they're hanging out and doing drugs. That would not be allowed. So having staff that's going to be there 24/7, having security, wherever that ends up, it ends up being expensive.
Now, last night in your address, you kind of talked about some of the highlights regarding the homeless situation the past year. Talk about the Navigation Center and how you feel that's going so far.
Well, we've gotten reports for their success record, and it's been a while because recently at the Homeless Commissions, we've been focusing on the campground situation. But when we got those reports, it's quite impressive to see that there are individuals who have entered that Navigation Center and are now on their own back into the community. And that's what you'll look for in terms of people walk through the door, are they walking out here a better person and back into society? And they have that success record. So I appreciate what they're doing. I support what they're doing. Whenever there's a problem, it's nice to know that all we have to do is pick up the phone, call the director, and they're right there to deal with the issues.
And Nikki, what do you see happening next with the Navigation Center, maybe the next phase kind of?
Great question. We just opened the second phase in September. So there's still, we're about 100 days into that, and so there's still some bumps in the road that they're working on within the Navigation Center itself, and so we talk about those things, and we work through them. We get some feedback from the neighborhood. UCAN has been great about addressing any issues that have been brought forward to us as we share those, and so we hope to continue to support that effort. A lot of it is just around trying to talk to the state about continuing to support financially what's happening there, because the investment's been made and the least expensive way to continue is to support that investment that's already been made. And so we spend a lot of time talking to folks about that, making noise to try and continue to be able to support that effort.
It sounded like from other folks I've talked to that there's been from the state level sometimes an effort to get even more of these going, and that's sort of taken the precedent over funding for the ones that are already in place.
Yeah, that's been a little bit disappointing for those of us that stretched early to really make that effort to get something going, not just in this world, but also with some other of our community partners that did some Project Turnkey projects. To be able to sustain those, the ones that started under the previous governor, it's taking some effort to get realization that needs sustainable funding as well, not just the new fancy shiny beds, but the ones that have been doing it for a little bit longer.
All right, let's hit some other topics too. We certainly wanted to spend a lot of time on the homeless issue to begin. Talk about just sort of going over the notes from your address. 25 new employees in the city in the past year. Is that kind of a normal amount? I have no idea.
It is not a normal amount. We have seen a lot more turnover. During COVID, you heard about kind of the great resignation. And I think for the public sector, we lagged what you saw in the private sector. So there's been a lot of movement within the public sector where people have left for higher paying jobs at state agencies or have taken different careers. And so we've seen a lot of movement, not just in the police department, but in the police department as well.
Now, community development, what about construction in the past year? Talk about some of the new projects, things that are going on.
You want me to take that, Larry?
Yeah, if
okay.
You want.
Yeah, so of course the Winco opened right before Thanksgiving, I think. So that's been kind of an exciting development. We've had new apartment complexes within the Diamond Lake area. That's in our new urban renewal area. We've actually, we did a new housing needs analysis in 2019 that showed we needed, I think, 800 apartment units in the next 20 years. We've already built 400 of those, so we've already accomplished about half of what it said we needed to do in 20 years. And we've got some applications in right now for some smaller, fourplexes out along that way as well. So we're excited about seeing multifamily housing that we haven't seen in a long time. That's kind of the bulk of what we've seen that I can think of off the top of my head.
And there's also been talk about an urban growth boundary land swap. Where do things stand on that idea?
So we have been in a process going back and forth with DLCD for a few years on refining the application, and we finally finalized that and submitted it in October. We've been talking with the county about doing joint planning commission meetings, and so we're working towards scheduling those in the next couple of months. We want to do a community meeting within the next month or so, and then start getting to the planning commission level, get to council, and then ultimately to the Douglas County commissioners for decision.
And, of course, nationwide, we've got a housing shortage. A lot of rural areas have it. And it's real obvious here, but one of the particular struggles has been just the amount of buildable land that's still available inside the city limits to stimulate growth for the city and not just the outlying areas of the county.
Yeah, it's been a challenge because the areas that we do have within the urban growth boundary, many of them are steep and very expensive to be able to develop. And the areas that we're taking out would actually require additional reservoirs. One area would require two sets of reservoirs, two sets of pump stations to be able to get water to that elevation. And that's just the beginning. Then you have streets, you have sewer, and all the things that would go into making those buildable lots. And so they're really more suitable for lower density development that you see with the larger lots that you would be building on outside of an urban growth boundary.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Tomorrow, Roseburg School District Superintendent Jared Corden will be in studio on Inside Douglas County. Later in the week, Congresswoman Val Hoyle on the program as well. Looking at the state of the city of Roseburg, Mayor Larry Rich, City Manager Nikki Messenger, when you work on a speech like this, and I know a lot of note-taking goes in, how much time do you spend going through all of this and figuring out exactly what you want to say and what you know rises to the top as being most important to cover?
Well, the way it works is the staff puts together, each department puts together their report and turns that into Nikki. And so there's a complete comprehensive report. And what I do is I get that and go through it and look at what do I think the public wants to hear. So the volume is so large that I don't talk about all of it. I look at it, what do I consider important? So then I put that together. Suzanne Hurt is the one to actually make sure that it all flows together. And then she puts together the slides. So a big shout out goes to her for her help, but just realize that the volume is quite a bit because it's in depth and it's everything from each of the departments so that we look at, and then we just try to put it down to a more reasonable level for the public to hear. And we think, and hopefully it's the important facts that they'd want to care about.
Right, and obviously in 25 minutes here, you can only cover so much of it as well. One of the big highlights for the year seemed to be the library. Talk about the 5 years of the library and what that has been, what you've seen there, the success.
Well, if you just look at when it first started to where we are today, you know, I remember when the county library closed and people came to the cities and said, we need a library. And it was one of those things where I just admire the fact that Roseburg looked at it and said, we want to build a high quality one and we're going to take the time to do it right. And we did. And so for a year, I remember people saying, how much longer? And once it was done, it was very impressive. So when you look at the library as it is today, it's one of those things that's just a gold mine in terms of its high quality and well run. If you look at some of the stats that were just from last year, 100,000 checkouts, 225 programs with 6,850 attendees, 5,700 cardholders, 6,000 public computer sessions, 3,600 items bought for the physical collection, and then there's 1,000 meeting room bookings all in 1 year. Pretty impressive.
And one of the things as well, talking to Chris Wiley recently, is sort of taking some of the shifts that happened during COVID and taking some of the pieces of that that were advantageous for the future, which has included some of their presentations that, while they have a lot in person, have some things that are virtual with authors and different people that you couldn't possibly put in the budget to pay to come to Roseburg, yet you can get them on Zoom and do something.
Yeah. No, it's amazing just to watch what she has done with that program and the different opportunities that she's providing for the public to get involved and get an education on.
So, Nikki, let's talk about the public works piece. A lot of things going on. You ran that department for a number of years. What are some of the highlights you see there?
So there's been a lot of work going into the water system. It's one of the backbones of the community that is kind of silently just so important, you know, having drinkable, high-quality drinkable water. And so over the last, gosh, decade, there's been a ton of work in replacing transmission mains. There's a 20-inch and a 30-inch that run from Winchester to the water reservoirs that are on the top of Reservoir Hill. Each year, they're doing sections of that, which I know are millions of dollars to replace, but need to be done because they're 1920s vintage lines. So that's been quietly happening in the background. Unless you commute in on Stevens, you notice it when it's happening. And then the backup power at the treatment plant. We were out of power out there during Snowmageddon for about 30 hours, I think. And that was with PP&L making every effort to get us back in power as soon as they could. But we had to keep an eye on the reservoirs, and thank goodness it was during the winter and people aren't using a lot of water. But it was an eye-opener that times were changing, that power was not as, you know, we used to always not have long power outages, and now they're more and more common, and they get longer and longer as we look at fire danger and other things. And so this is culmination of about a three-year project because of COVID delays and everything else to get the generator out of the water treatment plant and at other facilities. And when you think of a generator, you think, you know, oh, that's something in the back of my pickup. This is the size of a semi truck, right? And so it's quite substantial, and it's nice to know that we have that peace of mind now that if we lose power, we can still create drinkable water for the citizens.
And obviously police enforcement, having police officers available, a big integral part of a city. And I know that's been a challenge, keeping officers.
It has been a challenge. If you look at all of the obstacles that have been put in place for officers in the last 5 or 6 years, without being political and talking about Measure 110 and other things, it's just changed what they do and how they do it. That said, I can't say enough good things about the folks that work in the Roseburg Police Department and their dedication. Being down officers right now, I believe we're down 8. And the fact that they're willing to do the job and make the coverage that's necessary to protect the citizens, they are so dedicated to what they do, and they do such a good job. I just can't say enough good things. We are in hiring processes constantly. We don't wait. We bought our own testing equipment for the physical testing so that we don't have to rely on going to get equipment from other departments. We do everything we can to be able to get qualified applicants through our process as quickly as we can, but we're not willing to lower the bar, because when you have people that carry guns in your town, you want that to be a high bar. So we are diligent in our hiring process, we are diligent in our training process, but we are keeping the bar high.
Couple minutes left, Larry, talk about 2024, some of the goals for this year, some of the things you hope to see move forward.
Well, probably the four top is the urban campground. So we want to get that one up and running. We have the medical college that we were partnering with UCC, and their plan to bring quality medical education to our area is just fascinating, and we really hope that's going to be doable, and we believe it's going to be here shortly. The warming center, that's one that we're so thankful for. St. Joseph Church was willing to step up and do it. I'm hoping it's going to be long-term, because if it's not, then we're going to be back to trying to find a location and all the hassles that can bring. So hopefully it'll be a long-term solution to that. And then downtown parking is an issue that many people that work in the downtown area want that solved. And we've had reports from the staff before, and we weren't able as a council to make a decision. The council wants to try to see if they can help solve that, but getting the citizens involved also, and we'll see how that goes. And we're hoping that we can get that one figured out.
Real quick, Nikki, what's sort of your top goal for this next year?
Well, we would like to increase our staffing levels across all the departments, because really we have to have the staff to deliver the service that our citizens deserve.
All right. Roseburg City Manager Nikki Messenger, Mayor Larry Rich. And again, if you want to hear the entire address, that is available online at 541radio.com. Actually, no, that's on the city website. I'm getting ahead of myself here. On the city website, city Facebook page, and you can hear this conversation later at 541radio.com. 1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.